All right. We are not in Jeremiah. We are not in Jeremiah. Psalms chapter 82, 82nd Psalm.
Do what?
Change, yeah. Psalm 82. The title for this one is, "What do you do when it all falls apart?" It really is. I was sitting on this psalm for a long time, just trying to figure out what do you do with this one. And I was sitting there today, and I had another sermon from Jeremiah, and I'm like, I don't know. And I thought about this, and it all sort of made sense. So, Psalm 82. You'll notice it's a psalm of Asaph, and he seems to be sort of a thinker and real put off by injustice and just the stuff that he sees going on. Why do righteous people suffer? Why do good people or wicked people seem to prosper? Psalm 73 is one of them. He says those things in it. And so this one is another Psalm of Asaph. And really this one is about being very troubled by injustice and, you know, influential, you know, the people that seem to be making all the decisions and controlling our lives and controlling the things about life are, you know, they take bribes, they're essentially run by money and corrupt. And so, I mean, it's the same old story as far as corruption in high places. And there's a couple things in here that it'll help you understand, I think, sometimes the way these words are used. but in Psalm 82... I'll read this to you, and then the point in this, I'll just tell you, I'll give it away. The point in this is really simple, but there's a few things to note in this psalm. So Psalm 82 says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked?" Selah. "Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I've said, you're gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." Several things in here that are notable. But let's pray, and we'll cover this psalm. Again, the application is going to be, I think, very simple, but it's helpful in a lot of ways, I think. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And to pray that you would help us through this, help us understand your words, help us get what we need out of these verses. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the thought is, essentially, people that make the big decisions, the decisions that essentially control their lives, this is the complaint of the psalmist, that there's corruption in high places. And the ones that should be where you want to find righteousness in the fear of God, you don't find it. You essentially find covetousness, you find people run by money, and so it's the age-old problem ongoing, and it's one of the things that you, as a Bible believer, you look forward to when you see Jesus Christ again. I mean, when this world is right, and so you just suffer through sort of all the injustice, and you know, you don't really have a way of fixing any of it. So what do you do in all that? What do you do in those situations? But a few words in this psalm are used that can I think, be confusing to people, but or at least they think he's saying something he's not saying. For instance, the word gods is used in here. And the way the word gods is used, it's not what it is, it's just leadership. It's judges. It's people that are the ones that are making the decisions. In fact, you don't have to go back there, but I'll give you the reference. But in Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, one of the commandments from Moses was, don't revile the gods nor the rulers of your people. So that's the same thing. This is the same thing. The ones that are the most influential and have the most influence over the people, these are considered the gods. In fact, John records Jesus saying that when he says it to the Pharisees. Jesus asked, he said, haven't I said you're gods? And he's quoting this. And so the way the word gods is used, I think sometimes we think it's a devil or an idol, or maybe even our understanding of devils is messed up a little bit, but we have it some idea of, I don't know, some angelic being or something. But the way the Bible uses the term gods, it's someone who is in position to be influential over people, generally in this case a judge or a priest, but somebody that has leadership and has a position of leadership, things like that. Paul would say, he would quote that Exodus verse, in fact, in Acts 23, where he's standing before, I forget who it was, I think it's the high priest at the time, and he starts to speak, and he says, you know, I've lived a life as far as Christianity is concerned, I've lived a life, a blameless life in Jesus Christ. And immediately the priest says, hit him. And he orders the police officer to punch him in the face. And Paul gets punched in the face. And Paul says, I wish you weren't a leader. I wish you weren't a high priest. Because I'm told not to revile you. I'm not supposed to speak against you, but I hate the fact that you're in this position. And you're this stupid. I can't believe this. But he doesn't say stupid. But I mean, he that's the idea. He's so frustrated with the people in charge, particularly the ones that have him arrested, and then they want to beat him up and stuff like that. And Paul just says to the high priest, "I wish you weren't the high priest. I wish it was somebody else." And so that's Acts 23 verses about 1-5. And so it's the same. This is this concept, this idea of who are the gods. They're not necessarily angelic or fallen angels or anything like that. They're, in this case, they're judges, they're priests, they're people who have influence over the people, who make critical decisions that affect a lot of people's lives. And so the psalmist says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. He is among that group. And they are not, one of the things I guess you can tend towards is you get into a position that's that influential and you think that you're sort of untouchable by anybody else. And the psalmist is reminding the people, the hearers, you know, God's among that. I mean, he's there. He's watching these people make decisions. He's watching the people take bribes. He's watching the judges make their judgments. And so he's there with them, and he's taking note, and he's accounting for all of that stuff. And so that's the idea. So he says, how long will you judge unjustly? The question. How long are you going to judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? That's a big word, acceptance. people want to be accepted, but these folks are accepting the wrong people, and they're probably accepting the wicked because there's money involved generally. There's some give and take that's going on there. So how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to make these judgments based on corruption? How long are you going to do this? And really kind of wondering, how long, Lord, are you going to let this go on? How long are you going to let this go on? But he doesn't go that far with it. He's still, his hope is in the future when the Lord is going to reconcile these things, but we'll get to that as we go through this psalm. So the judges, they pervert judgment. Those, like I said, those making the decisions, they're victimizing people for profit. They're willing to cast off righteousness if there's money to be made. And so it's interesting that people are called gods in the Bible, and the way the devil presented it at the beginning, you can know good and evil and be like gods. And after that happens, the knowledge of good and evil, after evil becomes knowable, or at least by human beings, and there's a knowledge of evil, then there becomes this necessity for there to be judges to distinguish between good and evil. Now you've got to figure out what's good and evil. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. Joe and I were talking about it a while back, how at the beginning it says, you know, don't even treat knowledge of good and evil, and the devil's tempting, and the temptation is you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And then as you go through the Bible, it looks like the Lord wants people to be able to distinguish between the two after this enters the world. Now you need to be able to distinguish between them. So that's kind of an interesting thing. But with the entrance of evil into humanity, man's required really to judge between good and evil. And that's an interesting thing to me anyway. So you got these judges who pervert judgment. And then this, what do you do? You can't change the judgment. You can't, you and I can't. I mean, we can't do those things. We're not in a position, at least not now, you're not. But the instruction to the judges is you need to change what you're doing. Verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. All right, so that's instruction. First of all, it's instruction to the judges. The ones who are corrupt, you need to do right. Do the right thing. All through the Bible, the Lord is concerned with innocence. He's a protector of innocence. That thing shows up over and over and over in the Bible about the fatherless and widows and things like that. And so there's the instruction to defend the defenseless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy from the wicked, because they're not going to be able to deliver themselves. And so innocence is special to God, and really those willing to defend innocence are on the right side of you find out they're on the right side of history. You'll find that out in the future, but they're on the right side of the future as well. And that's going to show up in the psalm here. So there's a positive judgment, which I will make comment about. People say, don't judge. You've heard that, you know, don't judge. Well, I think those same people would want this kind of judgment, where someone would take care of the needy, where someone would choose to protect innocence. That's a good judgment. And so just blanket, don't judge, that's no one does that. It's not a realistic thing to command somebody to do. And you would like some of the judgments anyway. So there's a positive judgment. You know, deliver the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, and all that kind of thing. Then he goes into, in verses really 5 and 6 and 7, kind of the path of this corruption. Where does it go? Where does it end? What happens to it? He says in verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I'll keep reading to give you a little bit on that. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. A couple things here that may mess up your theology a little bit, but the foundations of the earth are out of course. You've said stuff like this before, and the way you've said it is the world is falling apart. It just feels like the world's falling apart, and so this is what Asaph feels like. He looks around and sees corruption everywhere, and he says Hebrewism or the English or what it is, but all the foundations of the earth are out of course. You would say it's all fallen apart. There's no structure here. It's just corruption. It's like you can't get ahead of this stuff. You can't stop it. It's just overwhelming. And so, you know, all the earth's foundations are out of course. And then he says, I've said your gods, which he said earlier. You're all gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High. So this is something in that the Lord regularly calls the nation of Israel his children. In fact, in Deuteronomy, Moses would say that God is a father to the nation. He's a father to the people. So the idea that sons of God exist in the Old Testament, they're not angels. It's the nation of Israel a lot of times because God is the father. And so as the father, he has these children. And he said that in Deuteronomy 32 is one place. At the very beginning, he talks about being their father. And so this is the people he's talking to. I've said you're gods and all of you are the children of the Most High, but here's the end of their course. You shall all die like men and fall like one of the princes. All right, so that's the path of these judges. It's a they refuse to accept their own perversion. They're set in their ways. There's not going to be any turning these folks around. And so they cause so much trouble for the rest of the people and their bad judgments and their corruption. And it's just going to be like this, it seems like. And so the Lord says, yeah, you'll do this till you die and you're all going to die like men. And just because you have this position and you think you're untouchable, you find out one day you're not untouchable. And you'll find out one day that all this stuff that you've done has been accounted for. And so That's the future. And so he says that in verse 8, arise, O God. This is like the prayer. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So the judge of the earth will make all things right. That's the idea. He'll reconcile all things. You find out the judge of the earth is going to be Jesus Christ. He's going to reconcile all things to God and righteousness. His inheritance will be all the people. Just like he says, the meek shall inherit the earth, things like that. So what's the point? What do you do? I mean, what do you do in this whole situation, in this whole mess? And what can you do? I've noticed, I think about how it applies, you know, if you can sit around and think about these things and you can worry about these things and you can... You can blame God for these things. There's a lot of ways of handling, wrong ways of handling things that are wrong around you, that are going on. There's a lot of wrong ways to handle these things. But at the end of the day, what do you do? What can you do? Well, it kind of goes back to verses 3 and 4. That's the only place he gives any instruction. What do? You do what you can do. You do the right thing. Do the right thing. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted. This is the right thing to do. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So this is the instruction of as far as doing right when you don't know what to do. I see that over and over in the Psalms where it's either David or one of the psalmists is in this confusing situation, and it's like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know why there's no judgment here. I don't know why this corruption is allowed to go on. I don't understand why all of these bad things are continuing to happen, and it doesn't seem like anybody, God in particular, cares about it. I don't understand it. And then during the psalm, he'll kind of collect himself and say to himself, but I'm going to do the right thing, essentially. I'm going to do right in all of this. Because I don't understand all of it. It's like Job. It's like, I'm not going to curse God. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why God isn't intervening, why he's not changing this. I know he's going to in the future. And because I know he's going to in the future, if I do the right thing now, I will at least be in the right side of history and the future. And so just you do the right thing. And that's the only instruction in all of this thing. Basically, to generalize it, he talks about defending the innocent and things like that, delivering the ones that can be delivered and things like that. But generally, it's just do the right thing. You can let the confusion and all the corruption mess you up and mess up your heart and mess up your mind against God and your heart against God and other people and all that stuff. But do the right thing. I think there's even a proverb that says, commit thy works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. There's something to that. There's something to just doing the right thing when you don't even understand what's going on sometimes. But you know what to do. You know what the right thing is to do. To do the right thing. And so in this psalm, you got a lot of just dealing with corruption, dealing with bad stuff. And the instruction is you're not going to understand it. You're not going to even be able to fix it. But you can do whatever you can do in the midst of it. Do what you need to do. Do the right thing. Like James says that's chapter 3, chapter 2, somewhere in there. But it says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin, essentially. You know what to do. Do the right thing. Don't make excuses about the right thing. Don't blame God about what's going on. Just do the right thing. And you'll find out at the end of the day, you'll be on the right side of history and you'll be on the right side of the future. And so that's the idea. What do you do when things are falling apart? I don't understand them. I don't know what's going to change, if anything can change, who's going to change. But I know what I can do, so I'll do what I can do. So hopefully that's a little bit of an encouragement to you. A lot of stuff going on in there, but simple instruction, simple encouragement. I hope it's helpful for midweek service here, but let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Pray that you would help us, simple stuff. I think our theology should at least lead us to doing good and not doing evil. So pretty simple, pretty basic. But we can overthink a lot of this stuff. That's temptation. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Those that are gone, I know several are either traveling or getting back from doctor's appointments. We pray for Maureen with her eye infection or whatever's going on in her eye there. Pray that that would heal up and resolve. Pray that you would give her grace and some comfort in all this. And then looking forward to Sunday and all the folks coming that have been invited. So I pray you'd help us with all that on Sunday. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.